Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The desire for marriage prevents some people from being realistic. Mr. Perfect turns out to be less so, and Miss Wonderful is found to have some less wonderful moments. Today, more character issues to look out for before tying the knot at the altar. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer, could it be that it's better to not know our partner's faults before saying I do?
You know, Dave, a number of years ago, I was listening to a lecture given by someone on marriage, and I've never forgotten when he said this, that many marriages fail because of unrealistic expectations. In other words, we think to ourselves that our partner is going to be perfect, and they are living with the illusion that we are going to be perfect. And of course, you bring two sinners together, and you discover that there is going to be a certain level of conflict. If we knew all the problems that are associated oftentimes with marriage, maybe we wouldn't marry, but thank God for marriage. It's an opportunity for us to learn to love one another, to grow with one another, and of course, the possibility of children. The family is the bedrock of society, and that's why we're so excited about marriage. But also I want to emphasize there are so many problems connected with it in the lives of some. That's why we have this sermon series entitled The Marriage Puzzle. And at the end of this message, I'm going to be giving you some more info as to how you can receive it in printed form.
Don't ever marry somebody because you think you can change them. You can't. God might, but you can't. Very, very important. In fact, during the dating experience, you actually see the nicest side of them. You see them at their best, not their worst. Secondly, this is important, if you didn't ignore some red flags, you probably never would have been married, right? Didn't my wife ignore some red flags? I mean, how in the world, I'm speaking to the men now, how in the world did you get married if your wife didn't ignore some red flags? In fact, I'd like you to do something this afternoon if you're married. Look into the eyes of your wife and say, thank you for ignoring some red flags, and then she can thank you also, but don't get into an argument as to who ignored the most red flags, all right? Don't go there. Simple fact is, the world is broken. I'm going to be giving you a quote and another message that is just chilling almost by one of the Puritans about our sinfulness. You take this sinful person and this sinful person. Some of you are thinking, if I had married somebody else, I'd be happier. Don't be so sure. Don't be so sure. Remember, I love to tell that story about a man who was walking through an asylum. And there on the floor, there was a man who was beating his head against the wall. They had padded cells saying, Linda, how could you do it? Linda, how could you do it? He asked the director, what's going on? He says, he was madly in love with Linda, and she jilted him, and he couldn't take it. All that he can do all day is hit his head against the wall and say, Linda, how could you do it? When they got to the end of the row, there was a man who was doing the same thing, pounding his head against the wall, saying, Linda, how could you do it? Linda, how could you do it? He said, what's that all about? And he said, well, he's the guy who married Linda. Folks, I have hope for you. Listen, my heart is filled today, and that's why we need to plunge into the scriptures. I don't know if I can finish everything I've prepared. My heart is filled today with this fact that no matter what situation you are in, no matter whom you married or wish you had married someone else or red flags that you bypassed, I'm going to be telling you in the next message some red flags where a man married a woman and he had enough red flags to have his own parade. I mean, really. But no matter where you are, you can glorify God in your response. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. No matter where you are. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll quickly give you an outline here about what's going on. The topic has to do with marriage. The topic has to do with women who are living with unsaved men, as well as Christian husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. If you're taking notes, number one, what the Bible says is understand one another. Ladies, you want to change your husband? Nagging won't do it. Judging won't do it. Cajoling won't do it. Trying to shame him won't do it. Why don't you let God do it? And how does God plan to do it? What is his plan? It is by the submission of the wives. Now, this is such a huge topic. Obviously, we're going to be dealing with it later on in this series of messages. But I just need to say that I've seen this time and time again. I'm thinking of a situation where a man had a considerable amount of money, so he bought a considerable number of toys. I mean, we could say boats, cars, whatever. But you see, his wife now began to even spend more than he, and she became very, very irrationally extravagant, and there was nothing that he could say. And her big point was, well, you're doing it, you know, why can't I do it? And pretty soon, what you have is a situation in which when he says blue, she says red. When he says pink, she says orange. And they can never get on the same page, because I deserve this and I deserve that. Listen, you can't have a happy marriage unless you obey God's word. And the Bible says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. And that's a tough thing to say in today's culture. I understand how counterculture this is. But that is the means of God changing. Now, of course, if he's abusive, if he's abusing you or abusing the kids, then run, don't walk to get help. But the point is that I can tell you story after story where there's no harmony, because there's no submission, no willingness to sacrifice, no willingness to, quote, give up all my rights, which is our problem. It's my problem. It's your problem as sinful human beings. And as a result, what do you get? You get conflict. Always that undercurrent of conflict. Now, on understanding one another, notice what it says in verse 8. Actually, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, what does that mean? Well, that's a long story, too, that we'll have to unpack in another message. But the fact is that many men don't take the time to try to understand their wives. They don't take time to try to understand where they're coming from. And I know that sometimes it is said that women can be unpredictable, and we know all that, but we as husbands have the responsibility of understanding our wives, to walking in their shoes, so to speak, that we might get a handle on the kind of people and husbands that we should be. There has to be understanding on both sides. Both sides need understanding. And then we should, of course, understand one another. But now notice how he says, accept one another. I'm going to go here to verse 8. I know that here he's beginning another section. He's speaking to the whole church. But in speaking to the whole church, wouldn't this specifically relate to husbands and wives? Of course. Look at what he says. Finally, all of you have unity of mind. How in the world are you going to have unity when you disagree? Well, the answer is that there are some things that you simply accept about your mate. You simply accept him and her, even though you have those disagreements. But unity can be achieved without always agreeing on everything. She needs her space, you need your space. And it's very important, though, that you achieve that kind of unity. Every once in a while, I have somebody say, oh, you know, we've been married for 30 years and we've never had an argument. Well, I admire a couple like that. I can only tell you, quite frankly, being married to Rebecca for 40, our marriage wasn't quite that boring, if I might say that. We all have our disagreements. We all argue from time to time. God help us, may those instances become fewer and fewer. But the fact is, we need to be able to accept the differences, as far as we are able, and have unity of mind, even if on all issues we don't have exact agreement. And we accept our spouse with all of his or her failures and weaknesses, even as we hope to be accepted ourselves with all of ours. And the Bible says you achieve unity of mind so that you are on the same page. Same page spiritually, same page morally, same page in terms of your goals, and that becomes very critical. So what we should do is understand one another, we should accept one another, and now notice how Peter begins to talk about the emotional level of unity. He says, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. I'm going to kind of lump those together and simply say that we should have sympathy. I also almost said symphony. And by the way, that wouldn't have been a bad mistake. That's what a symphony is all about. They're on the same page. And if they aren't, Tim needs to get them on the same page. So the Bible says that we should have sympathy one to another. I don't think that you can have unity simply on the intellectual level. What you need to do is to enter into the other person's fears and anxieties and troubles. And when I read some of the other messages about red flags, you say, did you ever get any letters also from men? And the answer is yes, and we'll share some of them with you. For us as men, this is very difficult oftentimes to be that sympathetic listener and the person who cares. My wife, Rebecca, for the 40 years that we have been married, suffers from migraine headaches. As a matter of fact, she had a bad night last night, though she is here today. And I've often felt so guilty because I am not really able to enter into her pain. And I pray for her. Many years ago, I fasted for 6 days and had many concerns on my mind, but number one was her migraines, and God did not see fit to remove them from her. But my question is, how can I enter into her world and bear her cross with her, which, by the way, she bears so marvelously? There are times when she has one of these migraines and I don't even know about it. But we as husbands, we need to have sympathy. Did I get it right? Sympathy. And be in symphony. I'll use both words. And begin to enter into one another's worlds. Now, that is difficult. Husbands, you need to be able to listen to your wife. Don't simply be, as one woman said, I'm married to the great stone face. The great stone face. He's into the newspaper. He reads the newspaper. He watches television. And there's no connection. You may eat together. You may go places together. But there's no emotional connection. And some of you, because of perhaps the way in which your wife has responded, maybe because of your background, you're finding it so difficult to connect on that level. But God expects us to. The scripture says, have unity of mind, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Be quick to admit you're wrong. Be quick. Beat your wife to, don't beat your wife, but... You know, sometimes the lived event comes out differently than you're thinking. Hurry to be faster than your wife. How's that sound? Till you ask forgiveness. And now we come to the biggie. Everything I've said up until now all comes together at this juncture. It says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Bless one another. Understand one another. And then we are also to be able to accept one another, have sympathy one to another, and bless one another. Now here is where the rub comes. Notice, do not render evil for evil. In a marriage relationship or any relationship, when you feel as if you have been sinned against, what do you and I naturally do? We sin back. He does this, I'm going to show him a thing or two, I'm going to do that. And as a result, you have tension in this relationship because we think to ourselves that because he did this, I will do that, or vice versa. Having been sinned against, we sin. And the Bible condemns that. The best example of someone who has sinned against and didn't sin in return is Jesus, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Jesus is our example here. And you and I would not be redeemed today were it not for the fact that Jesus, when he was sinned against, refused to sin back. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, that's why we offer you his redemption and his forgiveness, is because he took what he didn't deserve so that you and I might get what we don't deserve, namely his forgiveness and his righteousness. What a marvelous thing Jesus did for us. And you there, in your guilt, in your despair and emptiness, I urge you today to trust the Jesus who, when he was sinned against, did not sin back. But you know what happens in marriages? You always find this, that people are more anxious to get even than they are to ask a different kind of question, namely, how can I glorify God in the midst of this situation? My wife has done A, B, C, or D, you say, or your husband has done these things. And rather than asking, how do I get even? What do I do now? How do I straighten this out? How do I teach him a lesson? You have a different question. How do I glorify God in the midst of this situation? And when you begin to ask that question, you get different answers. Because you begin to understand that no matter what mess you are in, no matter what mess you are in, today God has given to you as a child of God, as a daughter of God, as a son of God, God has given you and me the resources to respond in a godly way. And that's what God is looking for. The issue isn't whether or not you straighten it out because you maintain your rights and you teach him or you teach her. That's not the issue. How do we have godly responses when we're sinned against? In order to illustrate this, let me read you a letter, and I'm reading it actually in the handwriting, the very sheet of paper that was given to me. And this was given to me some time ago, in an entirely different context. And I read this letter because as you read it, you'll notice that there were no red flags. He seemed to be marrying a very godly young woman. And yet things went very badly. But listen for this. Even though they went badly, and he was greatly sinned against, he had an entirely different response. This is to Dr. Lutzer. I married a young woman 9 years ago who had the same goal as me, to be a foreign missionary. 2 years later, she gave birth to a severely disabled girl, and our hopes of overseas missionary work were destroyed. What was worse, my wife became so angry at God that her heart turned against him. On our 6-year anniversary, she served me divorce papers and also revealed the identity of her new man that she was involved with, and eventually went on to move in with him and later on marry him. What is more, she moved my children, we have three, she moved my children out of state to a location 11 hours away from me. When the children do come to visit me, she does not send our handicapped daughter because of her distrust in my ability to care for her, which is totally unfounded. I have not had my daughter in my home for 14 months. I know by all accounts I have every right to be bitter with my ex-wife. However, I have made a promise to God that whatever happens to my ex, I will look out for her. I have always paid child support to her. Her current marriage is floundering. Any surprise there? Her current marriage is floundering and appears to be drawing to a close. She does not know this, but I have some potential business deals that may grant me outstanding financial returns. I have promised God that should she find herself destitute, I will not use it as a means to take our small children away from her, like I know many others might do. I would rather provide her with whatever she needs to live. Obviously, I do not foresee ever reconciling to her to the point of remarrying, but I do pray that she finds the heart for serving God she once had. And should she remarry, I pray that she finds a man who will stand as a godly example to the children. This is the most difficult resolution I have ever made in my life, and I don't boast in it the least. It is not easy to maintain a positive attitude toward her, but God has given me the grace to make it, and it is making a world of difference in my life. When we are sinned against, we glorify God best by not sinning in return.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm sure that you understand why it is that I believe that this sermon series is incredibly important. So important that we're making these messages available for you in written book form. Along with the transcripts, there are questions and also a link to the messages. For a gift of any amount, we're sending this book to you. Here's what you can do. Go to rtwoffer.com or call us at 1-888-218-9337. Now, because of the importance of this subject matter, I'm going to be giving you that contact info again, but I need to say that if you are looking for help in marriage, whether or not you're dealing with red flags that were missed during the courtship time, whether or not you are looking for help when it comes to matters of abuse and communication, the marriage puzzle, I believe, will be of great help to you. So, to receive this book, here's what you do. You go to rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com, or pick up the phone and call us at 1-888-218-9337. I want to convey to you the deep appreciation that I have for the many people who support this ministry. We believe so deeply that Running to Win does speak to issues that people need to confront as they continue to run the race of life, as you've heard me say many times, and do successfully all the way to the finish line. Thanks for your prayers and your gifts.
You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Next time, how to move beyond your past and lose the excess baggage that could be holding your marriage hostage. Don't miss our next program. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.